Previously on Nerd Management.
I don't believe this is the work of the same gang.
Why not, Professor?
Because my watch has stopped.
I don't understand. Why is that important?
Because it's been magnetized.
If the count is right, it's been playing over. And over 16 years.
Someone else stranded here.
Maybe they came for them.
Someone came. Why is it still playing? Guys.
Never know if I was right.
Look out!
I must save Edric!
Look! Edric!
I don't want to go.
Something important. I'm crashing.
So, did you grow up here? Or
I grew up in Peru, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So, I was just in a bunch of rock and roll bands and stuff for a long time.
Sure.
And I was like, wait a minute, that won't pay the bills. Let me move on to the next ridiculous dream.
I guess I have to draw stuff.
So
you went from like one kind of over the top dream to another, right?
Like,
you seem to be doing well.
It's all right. I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Had to convince my parents to let me go to art school in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it'll pay for itself. went to the Kubert School, graduated in 11, and then moved here, and just started hitting convention scenes, the convention scene. I was doing Wizard World shows and, basically whatever I could drive to. I started drawing Human City, which is a project that I created in Joe's class. One of the first assignments, Joe was sort of like, all right, well, not all of you are going to get hired by Marvel in DC, so...
Spot on, Joe.
Yeah, right. So he's like, you got to have a backup plan, you got to come up with something on your own. So he's like, he said, we need 5 pages of story penciled out by next week. And we're like, Joe, we've got 9 other classes. And we had to do like 5 pages of pencils, which is insane. You know, most of us did it, got it done. And, then we had to ink it, hand letter it, and just whole process. And I kind of put it aside and finished out the rest of the year, did everything we needed to do, had interviews with Marvel and DC, and they went well.
Yeah.
And I got emails from them. They're like, all right, email this guy, and then this guy will send you a sample script that you can do, and which is basically like a job application, you know?
Yeah.
So you can do the sample script, and my mindset was like, man, I just spent 3 years doing nothing but sample scripts. I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I just want to, like, start making...
Little do you know.
Right. So I finished Human City, and I went home and, just worked on that, kind of with no deadline in sight, and then C2E2... 2012 was coming up, so I was just like, all right, screw it, I'm just going to get the book done, put it out myself, didn't look for anybody to put it out, I just self-published it.
Yeah.
Came to C2E2, like, nearly sold out, first day. And I've sold, like, you know, figuratively out of my trunk, like, around 700 copies of Human City.
That's awesome. Wow. It's
weird.
Is there somewhere where we can get that now? Like, is it online?
I don't even have any right now. I mean, there's a link on my blog to order it, but you guys might have to wait for me to
draw
it.
Yeah.
Well, no, to get some more made. So, you know, I got to call my printer. But I've been really busy. Anyway, Human City got around, and that's how the guys from the Accelerators found me. And they got in touch with me through my buddy Daryl. And Daryl told them about me, and that these guys work behind the scenes on the comic book show. And just doing, you know, sound engineering, directing, whatever. I don't know. My editor.
Something.
You know. And they called me, and they were like, they'd sent me like a cold email just out of the blue. They're like, hey, we like your art. We want you to draw this book. And I get a lot of those emails. And
yeah.
Usually there are people that are like, hey, you want to draw my book? And I'll, you know, once we start making some money, I'll pay you. And, you know, I find new polite ways to tell them no all the time.
Sure, sure.
And so, like, I figured it was just another one of those. They asked me what my page rate was. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And
so clearly they've got something.
Right. I was like, and I didn't know about their background, comic book men or anything. They just kind of cold emailed me, and I sent them back thinking, like, these guys aren't going to pay me. And they said yes. And so they initially guaranteed me one issue. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they're like, you know, they guaranteed me two issues. I'm sorry. So they're like, you know, we'll do the first two issues. The first one sells well, you know, or if it doesn't sell well, we'll try to, you know, we'll probably just abandon the project.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get paid for two issues, and one of them actually gets published. And I was like, sure, fine. And then they decided we're just going to do the full arc. We're going to do five issues. And I was like, awesome. Yes, I'm in. And then Ronnie Porto, the writer, convinced Tom Mum, our editor, to go to six issues. And I was like, yes, still in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally still working.
And so my mindset was, you know, we're going to do these six issues. And I was like, okay, well, now I got to start finding some more work. And I'm working on issue six right now. I was working on five last month. And I went to New York Comic Con. And, you know, at this point, Accelerators has been out for a while. And it's been in previews and selling in shops. And, like, I don't really know what the numbers are on. I just don't care, really. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's out. People like it. Cool. Whatever. But so we're at near Comic Con, and I get there a day early, and Tom and I, better, we're setting up, and we are kind of double teaming near Comic Con. Like, they had a publisher's booth on the main floor, and then Tim Yates, the colorist, and I, we had an artist alley table. So we were two different sides of the floor,
right.
Just double teaming, and it worked out really well. But so we just got done setting up, and Tom and I went out for dinner, and he was like, so what have you heard about the future of Accelerators? And I was like, which is kind of funny because it's a time travel book. I was like, I don't know. It was a really weird conversation because I had just been on a string of going to conventions. I had done like 7 in 9 weeks or something like that. So
yeah.
I was like not turning in pages for a while. So, so I thought I was getting fired right there.
That's the talking they have before they're like, oh, we've decided.
And I was right in the middle of issue five, and it was like at the time, it was the best the book has looked.
Yeah.
Now I'm on issue six, and now it's the best it's ever looked.
Sure.
Like, progressively, like, the book keeps getting better because I keep getting better.
Right.
And then Tom's giving me this weird look, and he's like, what did you hear? I was like, oh, well, I figured we're just going to do six issues and we're done. And, like, Ronnie said something about maybe doing a seventh issue at some point, and then that would be it. And he's like, well, we're going to 10 issues now. And I was like,
oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm in. Cool. Like, you're not fired? Awesome. So, Accelerator's going to 10 issues. A couple weeks before that, I was in San Diego, and I met up with this guy I've done some movie posters for in the past, this guy named Jason Trost. The reason I know him is because during one of my summers at Kubert School, I worked on Project Runway for a season. And it's just, yeah.
Doing.
I was behind the scenes guy. I was the overnight guy. So that means, like, you know, if there was ever an emergency, like, they put me up in an apartment building where the contestants lived.
Yeah.
And so I would just run, like, whatever dumb little errands, and I'd basically have to stay up all night watching Netflix. And that job is rough. So anyway.
This is so, so hard.
Jason's sister was one of the contestants. She got eliminated early. Yeah. And so one of my main priorities was...
I do.
There had to be a sound.
Right.
So, you know, Sarah and I became good friends because I basically took care of the eliminated people.
You mean you took them out back and just...
Right. All Yeller style.
They don't tell you about the dark side of the show at all.
Oh, man. I could go on forever about the dark side of reality TV, but
is Project Runway, is that the one with Heidi Klum? No,
Heidi Klum, Tim Gunn.
I thought you were going to ask, like, is that the one with the models?
Make
or
it
is
work.
I've got Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn stories too, but you know, I'm sure you guys only have so much time. Yeah. So I'll get to the point.
We'll have you back.
Yeah. So, anyway, Sarah she became friends. She's like, and before like she went home. After the show was done filming, she's like, my brother's doing like a superhero movie. And she's like, I was like, that sounds awesome, because she knew what I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, she put me in touch with him. And he told me the premise of it. And I was like, I want to do a poster for this. And I talked to him. I did one on spec.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did the movie and did well.
What movie was it?
It's called All Superheroes Must Die. And,
that's what you were showing me earlier.
Yeah. Okay. And, it is a movie. It was an independent movie. He made it for like $20,000. So that really cheap budget.
Yeah.
And and he went on to do some other movies. One became like this crazy cult hit called The FP, which is like, it's on Netflix. You've probably heard of it.
Yeah, I definitely have.
It's so weird. It's like Escape from New York meets like martial arts tournament movie meets Dance Dance Revolution.
Sounds about
bizarre.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the proper.
And it became like this crazy weird cult hit. And so anyway, Jason has this superhero project that he's been working on. He's like, yeah, we're going to make a comic of this one day. He always promised me that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, whatever. And so Action Lab ended up picking it up. And we were going to do it with them until they told us that San Diego, they wanted to do it.
Mm.
And so we did a panel with them and everything. And, like, announced it to the world. It was so weird. And then a couple weeks ago, they just backed out of it. I don't know.
I was completely done.
They're just, like, it was, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I hate interrupting.
Yeah. Well, that's how we felt.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's, like, what did we... And we didn't even, like, do anything to, like... As far as that... They were trying to say, like, Jason was late on turning in scripts. It was total BS. Because, like... He was sending, like,
whatever they need.
Right.
Yeah.
They were just trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
So now Jason is just like, screw it. We're going to do it ourselves. So now I'm working on that as well as Accelerators. I think I'm going to do 6 issues of that. So right now I'm
pretty busy.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
I think within the past, since Monday, because, you know, I had to take a week off to do Thanksgiving stuff. But since Monday, I've penciled like 12 pages of comics. Which is insane, because I'm really slow anyway, and I don't know how I've done it, but I have, like...
But you have.
Yeah, like, no drugs or anything, but, like, somehow I've been doing this. And
so, are you going to be at any of the cons here in Indy over the next, in 2014?
Or? I'll be at the Indy Pop Con.
Okay.
Or I hope to be. I haven't locked that down yet, but I'm not going to do the one in March, the Indiana Comic Con, because that's the same weekend as Lexington. And I did Lexington last year, and that show was just amazing to me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well, the first time that I actually met you was at last year's Toy and Comic Expo.
Yes, I'll be back
with
that.
Which we actually had Billy on not too long ago.
Billy's a great guy. Mm-hmm. I think I did tell him this, but like I was so hesitant about doing that show.
Yeah.
And because I was in Miami the week before that, and it was like a 4-day awesome show. And then San Diego was, I left for San Diego a couple days after Billy's show. And I was like, I'd forgotten all about it. And then my buddy Stuart Sager called me. He's like,
Sager's amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He's going to be at C2E2 and I cannot wait.
Well, I'll probably be sitting by him because Stuart and I road, like, I basically plan all my conventions around Stuart because we travel together and we just shack up. We've been doing that now for a little over a year and a half.
You should get him on the podcast.
I'm sure he'd be willing to do it. Well, I don't know. We'll see if he can leave his house. He's got a girlfriend now, so whatever.
They'll do that.
Yeah. She's great, but, like, you know, I'm sure he'd rather go see his girlfriend and talk about comics.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I'm here.
Yeah, we'd all just chosen this life.
Yeah.
No, this life chose us.
Exactly.
This job has cost me 2 girlfriends, and I'm not ashamed of that.
Show up every single day.
Yeah.
But, is there any way they can find you? We'll do our plugs at the end, but, I mean,
we'll have you do your plugs and, like, where people can find your books and your Twitters and whatnot.
Sure.
Twitter.
Yeah, just go ahead and, like, let it out. I want to know personally for myself, because I want to know where to get your stuff.
Diamond.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
Accelerators is in Diamond. I think issue 4 just came out the week before Thanksgiving.
Well, and that's actually where I saw you was Hero House here in Indy,
mm-hmm.
Where I think 4 had just come out, or was about to come out. Because I was with one of my friends, and he was...
I think it was like the next week.
Sorry to interrupt you. Continue. But.
You're on the same topic. I'm just wrapped up issue 5. I am apparently just plowing through issue 6. So, issue 5 doesn't come out till like February, and then 6, I think, in April or May, I don't know. I know that Blue Juice Comics, who publishes Accelerators, they picked up another book, so that they're trying to stagger the releases in a weird way, and Tom explained it to me at one point. It didn't make sense. I was just like, cool. Yeah.
Now, do you usually like full scripts, or do you like for them to kind of, you know, like, he's jumping over a wall in this panel or something like that? Or do you...
I do like full scripts because I think I mentioned earlier that Kevin Maguire is one of my favorite Justice League artists. I mean, just one of my favorite comic artists in general. That whole... He and given to Jim... I can never say his name. You know what I'm talking about. The other guy that wrote Justice League. DeMatteis. Anyway, that era of Justice League was so good because of, like, all the facial expressions and the work that McGuire put into that. So, like, I like full scripts because I like to know what they're saying, and if they're saying something that's... I like kind of doing sort of those, like, kind of Kevin Maguire faces where, like... And so I like full script for that reason, and... also, if a writer feels the need to, like, describe something really well, and provides me with reference, that's even better. That makes my job easier.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes I'll be like, I just want this page to be over, and I'll look for an easy way out.
Tell me what you want.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Full scripts, is what I've been working with. With Human City, when I was writing that, because I wrote and I did everything for that. It was a weird way of writing. I kind of knew where I was going with it, but I was also, like, writing it as I went along, too.
Just kind of filling in the blanks. Like, you had the bullet points, like, this.
And I was like, okay, I need this in here. And I didn't necessarily know what it was going to say, and there's one page in Human City where, like, there's this weird, trippy, like, kind of montage-y splash page where it's like, you know, there are panels, but there's all kind of, like, makes it one image and it's kind of telling them. Weird story about, like, it's the villain. He's in an interrogation room. He's in cuffs. He's at a table, and he's like he's talking about all of his failed past attempts to like thwart the, you know, this faux Justice League in my Human City world.
Yeah.
So whatever, I'll call it what it is. And I made up all these bizarre story elements that were like kind of throwaway ideas, like not necessarily. Throw in since that I won't come back to him, but I was just off the top of my head that, like, that sounds like a crazy story, but it just added more depth to the story.
Sure.
So, like, I had, like, you know, like, the villain, like, in this crazy giant octopus thing, like, that had, like, an engine in the back of its head. He had some weird lizard army that from, like, some crazy name and number dimension.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, stuff like that.
So I'm hoping that eventually I can actually get a copy of I'd love to read it.
I'll be reprinting them before I start doing shows this year, sure. So, yeah. I mean, and I'm sure we're going to see each other.
Totally. Well, not that I want to cut your segment short, we should move on to the topic since we still have to do that.
Sure. Yeah, we'll make that real quick. We'll just touch on it briefly. But also, just got a message from someone that Bryan Singer just tweeted that his follow-up to Days of the Future Past, he just announced it. In 2016, we're getting X-Men Apocalypse.
Yup.
Whoa.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty big news.
Nerd man.
I don't know if we're first. I mean, he tweeted it earlier today. But we'll need to get one of those bullhorns, though.
Like,
But anyway, we'll just briefly touch on the topic because we really
mixed
it.
The topic is, and because I was kind of talking to you about this, I'm catching up on some of the bad books and books or trends that you wish you should have like got on right when it started.
This will be easy because we can all just like go through. Boom! Yeah. This is my thing.
Seriously, mine.
I'll go first because mine's the most like
white bread sort of
most white bread elementary version. When I was just getting back into comics, like right around the time that Walking Dead came out, and I remember being super pumped about it because I love zombie stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited, and I picked up the first issue. I was like, "Oh man, I'm so excited for this book!" And I opened it up, and it was black and white, and I was like, "What? What a ripoff!" And I put it back on the shelf, like the first issue of Walking Dead. I put it back on the shelf. I'm like, "I'm not reading that."
Fast forward.
Yeah, then 20 issues in, everyone's talking about it. I'm like, ah. So I went back and got the trades, but I mean that's just something I missed.
Look at now, you could send Jude to
But I missed the boat on that one, so that's, sorry, Jude, when you listen to this. And you're paying for your own college.
What about you? And this goes for trends too. It doesn't just have to be books.
I'd
say there's a couple. I mean, I almost want to say Black Sad, but I kind of knew about that before it got translated, so me having a French version of Black Sad wouldn't have made much sense.
I still read that, but it looks so awesome. I've heard
so
only good things.
So good.
C'est bon.
Here's a good one. Criminal, I wish I would have been on. I was kind of on board from the beginning.
The Brubaker?
Yeah. And it's now my favorite. I kind of wish they'd stop doing Fatale and go back to Criminal. I nothing wrong with Fatale. I like Fatale, but Criminal's just so good.
I actually I haven't read Criminal. It's on my bucket list, if you will, of things to read. But Brubaker, I mean, he's ridiculously amazing. And I know that's kind of like one of the things he's held up as, like, no, you have to read. If you like Brubaker at all, you have to read.
It blows everything else he's done out. But like, I wasn't. I think I caught on to it towards the end, or like when the second arc was starting up.
Yeah.
So I saw it, and I think I'd heard about it on Word Balloon years ago when Word Balloon was probably just started, like 2005, 2006, or something. And so I went back and I bought the first trade of Criminal. Then ever since Criminal's been coming out, I've been getting the single issues.
Yeah.
It's got really cool backup matter and stuff and like, articles about crime noir and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Yeah. Mine's easy. The Bat books. I only read Batman Proper when it was I wish I had gotten into comics. Let's just say that, because I kind of got into the game late. But
Your dad is like a big Batman fan,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
So you could, like, I'm sure from your birth, you could have had, like, anything.
Any Batman
related.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, not for me yet. And then you're like.
And then, I don't know what it was, maybe just the girl stopped calling.
Dude, I worry about that line, though, like, with Jude, because, like, I keep buying him like Flash action figures and like letting him play with the Swamp Thing and Ninja Turtles and stuff that I love.
The Swamp Thing.
And like, there's a point where like, this is either going to go one of two ways. Either he's going to love the same things I love, or he's going to hate them because I force them on him. It's like, I got to find that balance because I don't want him to be, no offense, I don't want him to have that same situation like you were. You're like, this is dumb because my dad likes it. And then later you're like, oh no, my dad was right. This is awesome.
I think he's got to find his own special thing that he loves about comics.
Right.
You know, like maybe something that. You don't show, like maybe help him out with that.
Right.
That's incredible. I try to leave like like you said, like more than Justice League, like. Like, that's totally true. We gotta leave it out one day.
Yeah. Well, like that's totally true because like the stuff that my dad likes about Batman is not in any way the same thing that I like about Batman. Like totally different. So like the thing that I wish I would have jumped on, not just comics, but just all the Bat books, right from the get go. I'm catching up on Batman and Robin, the Peter J. Tomasi stuff.
Oh, so good.
And it's so
Patrick Gleason is one of my favorite artists.
He's really
kind of underrated because
his art is so good.
He mostly just does stuff with Gleason or with Tomasi. He normally just teams up with Tomasi on everything. I can't even think of another thing he's done like independent of Tomasi, but his art
is he the Arkham War artist?
No, he's not.
No.
It's so stylized.
He did Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, when Tomasi was doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think those guys have ever worked hard.
It's just the Frank Quietly, Grant Morrison era there.
Yeah,
just kinda,
man, are you reading Jupiter's Legacy or whatever?
No. And
I'm waiting for the trade on that.
It's okay. It's not Quietly's best work. It's actually Frank Quietly, because it's a
Quite frankly.
But you can tell he's not into it.
Yeah,
like
I think All Star Superman is probably his.
Oh,
that's like
ever.
Top for both of those guys. That's like one of my favorite things that they've
just
ever
read. We Three.
Oh yeah,
oh,
I have We Three's a tearjerker.
Oh,
like,
Nintendo's already coming out with a new system.
No, there's this book. Well, I don't want to get into it. We'll talk about We Three another day. But that is a great book, and you can check it out. But
So. Just kind of wraps it up. We'll do our plugs really quick, and then
any of these comic books, of course, that we've talked about as usual. If you're not in the Indianapolis area, you can always buy them on comicbookyou.com. They have an online store, as well as if you're in the Indianapolis area in the Greenwood Place Shopping Center, 7623 Shelby Street is where Comic Book University is located, and it's a big, nice
store
now, like brand new, big, giant store full of. Comic goodness.
It's my first time in it. I've enjoyed it.
It's
so
giant.
Far.
It's just like, you can get lost in here.
We really have its own separate room. Just for
most comics, like, they knew we were
going to podcast. Most comic shops I go to are about the size of this room.
Yeah, exactly. where can they find you at there, Mr. Smith?
I have a Blogspot account, which I update sometimes. GavinPatrickSmith.blogspot.com. I post a lot of stuff on Instagram, and I've just kind of got back into Twitter again.
Twitter's awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Twitter's been good for the podcast because I'm following all these people that are like work for WB or work for Marvel's Entertainment. And so I'm getting these, like I have them like linked up to be notifications. So I get them, boom, on the website. Nerd Management first.
I didn't even like Facebook that much. Like I had a Facebook, but when we started the podcast, I was like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, it's like
I use every day
for,
like, our updates now.
Exactly.
So, and to talk to people that I work with on Facebook.
Yeah.
But
Facebook is the Walmart of
social
media. And
when we say MySpace is the Kmart then?
MySpace
Like a site.
It's a mess.
You can't
it's a bad neighborhood.
I went to go check out like one of my old bands' like MySpace profiles to see if I could like get some pictures off of it.
It's impossible. I don't even know.
Justin Timberlake owns those pictures now, buddy. Sorry,
you can have them. I guess
that's JT money right there.
Next Justin Timberlake album is gonna have your old band on the cover.
Right.
I don't understand.
Music provided by Gavin Smith.
What's your Twitter?
Yeah.
So the people can follow you.
You got me. Gavin P. Smith.
Okay.
And I like I said, I recently got back into it because I took a trip to Iowa last week for Halloween. Major family holiday, Halloween.
We pre-record a lot of
it. Valentine's Day.
Thanksgiving, and I live tweeted the whole 10-hour trip.
Whoa!
Which I was a trip with my mom and her boyfriend, and it was called Tony Quest. So if you want to come back,
that's awesome. I'm going to read that whole
thing.
Actually,
that does sound good. And then we're going to draw it out.
Ooh,
it's going to be
true. I thought I was going to lose followers because of how obnoxious I thought it was being. Many people loved it. It was so weird.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
And we'll put links and stuff to that whenever we post the episode as well.
Cool.
So. You can find me at the Alec Ward,
and I'm at Warner Swopes,
and I'm at Jay Sainless, but I don't update.
You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Also, Comic Book University has a Twitter and Facebook, and so does our affiliates at Fanboy Factor.
Yeah, absolutely, and for the first time on the podcast,
yeah,
you can now subscribe to us
on iTunes.
That's right.
So,
no, that needs more.
Yeah, big Ric Flair moves. And just
that's all I got.
Be the man. The amount that Warner has put in to try to get us on iTunes.
Yeah. So, suck a butt and play us out, Mr. Smith.
I hope you had fun.
I did. I really did. I know.